Grace and peace be yours in abundance. This is Season 7 of Guerrilla Christianity. My name is Pastor Brett Walker, and I'd like to thank you for listening to Guerrilla Christianity, an unconventional, no apologies exposition of God's grace from an evangelical Methodist point of view. Now, the Word of God is central to all we believe, so let's get into God's Word right now.
And I would invite you to take out your Bibles, either the ones that you brought with you or the ones in the pews, turning them with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40 is where we're going to begin our series, which is called Songs of the Season. Isaiah 40, verses 1 through 5, and it's found on page 667 of the Old Testament, if you're following along in the Pew Bible. It's a new series that we're beginning today called Songs of the Season. We're going to be looking at several hymns that go with both the Advent and the Christmas season. Today's hymn was Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. That was the theme of our call to worship. It was the opening hymn. And it's a hymn that we're going to look at today in light of the scripture that we're going to be reading as well. And so we're going to be doing this all throughout the Advent season. We're going to be looking at several different familiar songs and their meaning to their author, their meaning to us today, and how we praise our Lord with them. Let us hear then the word of the Lord for us today. This is Isaiah chapter 40 and beginning at verse 1. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Sometimes I feel like Charlie Brown at this time of year. I think you all know what I'm talking about. Charlie Brown Christmas first aired on TV in 1964. And in an increasingly secular society, it was an anomaly to see something like this going on TV. Where not only was the true Christmas story presented in full, where commercialism was being attacked, and then an actual Bible verse was read in the middle of all this, word for word. And then it concludes with the singing of another great Charles Wesley hymn, Hark, the Herald Angels Sing, Glory to the Newborn King. Charles Schulz wanted to present this a story of Christmas as what it really means to us. It's hard as we go farther from the birth of Christ to remember what is it that we are actually celebrating. And looking around even today, all I see is commercialism everywhere. I wonder if anybody is celebrating the true meaning of the season. It's hard to think to yourself that we're all alone here. Does anybody really even know that there was a cataclysmic shift in the history of mankind when God himself stepped off his throne and was born in a manger? Born to rescue us from our sin? people standing in line for Black Friday deals. Sometimes they get into fights over the really good ones. For what? What are we doing to ourselves in a world governed by fear and selfishness, where people are shooting each other every day on the news, road rage destroying lives, violence and profanity on TV and in the movies? And that's just the debates. Where's love? Where is God in all this mess? Where are the faithful Christians expressing the love of God to the world? And then there's the stress of the holidays. Did I get everything on the kids' list? Do I have everything I need for Christmas dinner? Who's coming? Did I invite everyone? Where are we going? Who do we need to visit so they won't be offended because we didn't come? Sometimes it's difficult to keep our focus on Jesus when the worries of the world are all around us and in our heads. And you know what? It was the same in Isaiah's time when he wrote these words that we read today. Yet God sends a message of comfort in that time of chaos and war and upheaval. Prepare the way for the Lord. He is coming. And that is what Advent is all about. Isaiah says, "Comfort, oh, comfort my people, says your God." There was much to be comforted for in this time. The time that Isaiah was writing about hadn't even come yet. The time that Isaiah was writing about was a time in the future when the people will have been exiled to another land. It hadn't even happened yet when he wrote these words. And yet he was saying, comfort. Comfort my people. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. See, Isaiah's prophecy is to a people who are deeply hurting in a world of war, chaos, oppression, slavery. And they just had no idea what was coming next. They had no idea what was going to happen. They were probably thinking to themselves, where is our God? God has abandoned us. We abandoned God, and now God has abandoned us, and why should he return? But this is what he says. A voice cries out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. God is coming, he's saying. God is returning to the land, and he will gather his people, and he will replace them. He will put them where they belong, where he promised them they would be. He said, take comfort in knowing that God is still in control. Take comfort in knowing that God is still on the throne. That no matter what is going on down here, God is not standing in heaven, pacing back and forth, wringing his hands. What's going to happen? He already knows. He's in control. He's seated on the throne. He's sitting because everything is in his grasp. And we might not see it now, but something is coming. I shared one time how I didn't get to watch Super Bowl 52 live. And at that time, it really bothered me a lot. You know, this is the culmination of 50 years of watching the Eagles lose. And they were finally on the verge of victory. They were going to win. They were going to beat those Patriots. But I didn't watch it. Not live. I heard about the ending. I knew that they won. And then I went home and I watched it on my DVR because I had recorded it. By the way, it's still there. I refuse to delete that one. Who knows, I'm never going to see that again. But Here's the thing. Watching that game after it had already been played out, knowing what the end result was, I had no stress whatsoever. Anytime the Eagles did something wrong, anytime the Eagles made a mistake, anytime the Patriots seemed to be gaining victory again, I wasn't worried. I wasn't stressed or strained in the least because I knew how the game ended. And that's how we ought to be. We know how the game ends. All you have to do is read the end of the Bible and it tells you that God is victorious. No matter what we may be facing here on earth at this moment, no matter the insurmountable odds, God is victorious in the end. And that's what Advent is all about. God sends a message of comfort to His people. And it reminds me of Simeon. Because Isaiah wrote these words some 700 years before Jesus was ever born. And there was a man in Jerusalem at the time that Jesus was born. And his name was Simeon. We read in Luke chapter 2 and verse 25 that there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel. That harkens back to those words, comfort. Oh, comfort my people. The consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Now imagine having that knowledge, knowing that in your lifetime you would see the Lord's Messiah that had been promised so many hundreds of years before. It'd be quite a promise. It'd be like knowing the end of the Super Bowl while watching it. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." And then it says, the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." Simeon lived his life knowing that he was going to see the Messiah before his death. Would have been nice if somehow God had revealed to those of us who are long-suffering Eagles fans that we would someday see the Eagles win the Super Bowl. But even greater than that is to know that not only has God come in human form, Emmanuel, the name Emmanuel means God with us. Advent is a season of comfort and knowledge that Jesus is the Emmanuel who indeed brings comfort. And knowing that brings us comfort too, even when things are crazy at the mall. We can be that beacon of light. We can be that hope. We can share the love of God with all around us. Not feeding into the madness, not feeding into the chaos, but perhaps injecting a little bit of God's love into every situation, in every encounter with every person that we meet, so that when we walk away, people may know that they have had an encounter with God. That's what we are. We are the light of the world. Jesus said that to us. He said, "Let your light so shine before people so that everyone may see your good deeds and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." One of the most remarkable things about that Super Bowl was after it ended, and with the confetti still raining down, and Nick Foles, that unlikely quarterback, a backup quarterback, took that stage, and they asked him, "What's going through your mind at this moment?" And the first thing he said was, "I want to give praise to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." A world stage with millions watching. Who does that? What an amazing thing. And that is what Advent is about. It's about giving glory to God. It's not about giving even presents to each other. Those gifts that we give to each other are a reminder of the greatest gift that we've already received, which is salvation at the hand of the Son of God, who came and bled and died for us and rose again on the third day. And here we see the glory of God. Because to live in a world with a Savior who was born to deliver means to shout that comfort and hope from the top of the mountains. Isaiah 40 verse 9 says, "Get you up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good tidings. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good tidings. Lift it up, do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God." Charles Wesley wrote this hymn in 1744. And in 1744, he was reading in Hosea chapter 2 and verse 7, how it said, "Bring all the riches into my house." And then he would look out his window and he could see the poor. And this is what he was thinking. He could see the wide gulf between the classes, the poor and the rich. Much like Charles Dickens showed in his Christmas Carol. And he realized that Christ came to save us all, the poor and the rich alike. The suffering and the comforted. And so he wrote that God was born to deliver his people. Born thy people to deliver. Born a child and yet a king. I don't know if you know how remarkable that statement is. Born a child and yet a king. How many children are born kings? Think about that for a second. Because usually when you're born, your parents are there. Royalty is a line of succession. So say, for example, you know, Charles. When Charles was born, he is going to be the next one to ascend the throne of England when his mother dies. But he was born a prince, not a king. He might be a king one day, but he's not today. And he wasn't when he was born. But Jesus was born a king. Born to reign in us forever. Now thy gracious kingdom bring. You see, this is a hymn not just of a promise of Christmas fulfilled, but also of a promise of his second coming anticipated. And that's what Advent is all about. We could take comfort in knowing that Christ has come. Because we live on the other side of Isaiah's prophetic vision after Christ has already lived and died and rose again for our sakes. Yet even knowing what we know, there is still questioning, there is doubt, there is distraction. During this Advent season, let our vision be laser focused on where we are headed, not where we are. Yes, we have to deal with the day today. when we know the end result, it makes the struggle that much easier. When we can live our lives knowing that Christ will come again, it takes away the stress of today and replaces it with the promise of tomorrow. Be of good cheer this Advent season. He was born to deliver us from our sin. He was born a child and yet a king. In the hustle and the bustle of the Advent season, let us not forget the promises of God. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for this amazing promise that your Son, who was born and lived and died and rose again so many years ago, will come again to save us all. Will come again to take us all with him to where he is. And so we know the end, Lord, and that makes the middle that much more bearable. And so our prayer this Advent season, as in every Advent season, come, Lord Jesus, even so, come. And so we lift up your name in praise and adoration this day and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Guerrilla Christianity. My prayer for you is that you have been blessed in its teaching as I have been blessed putting this message together. God has also blessed me in appointing me to serve two churches in Salem County, New Jersey, Ebenezer United Methodist Church in Auburn and Hudson United Methodist Church in Pedricktown. And if you live in the area and don't have a church to call your own, I'd like to invite you to join us on Sunday mornings. Ebenezer meets for worship at 9 a.m. and Hudson meets for worship at 10:30. We also have Bible study during the week. Now, if you enjoy this podcast and would like to help support it, please share it with your friends and family, hit like, leave a comment, and also subscribe to our YouTube channel. Just search for Guerrilla Christianity. Keep learning, keep growing, and I pray you will join us for Guerrilla Christianity again. Until next time, live for Christ. He died for you.